7 minutes past the hour, 2 on BCRFM. It is still the midday buzz, as promised that we would have Onompendulo Mabaso on the show. Today, she's bringing a new topic. She'll be talking about crop nutrition, but she'll tell you more about it. Onompendulo, how are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
I'm good.
Yes. So today, we're going to be looking at crop nutrition for plants. We will be speaking to Professor Dave Berger from University of Pretoria under the Department of Plants and Soil Science. Mm-hmm. He completed his PhD in microbiology from University of Cape Town before joining UP. Not forgetting he's a distinguished member of Green Research Program and a molecular plant pathogen interactions. Mm-hmm. So, Professor, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Lodia, and good afternoon to all of the listeners this afternoon.
Yes.
How are you today?
Oh, we're great. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Great. Professor, would you please explain to our listeners at home and myself in details as in what is meant by crop nutrition for plants?
Okay, thank you for the opportunity. Crop nutrition for plants is really important concept, and it's just like human nutrition. You know, healthy people need to have a balanced diet. You know, your parents are always telling you to eat millipap and need some vegetables together with that, broth, cabbage, broccoli, and proteins from some chicken once a week or whatever. So plants also need that. And the plants actually get their pap from the sunshine and from the CO2 in the air. So they take their carbohydrates, they convert the carbon dioxide from the air together with the light energy into carbohydrates. But then to get the equivalent of the meat, they need nitrogen. That is the other nutrition, and they get that from the soil. And then there's a whole lot of other crop nutrition compounds, like the vitamins that we need, that they get from the soil, such as phosphorus and potassium and other chemicals like that. So that is the essence for a crop or a plant to grow healthy. It needs nutrition, just like we need nutrition to grow healthy.
I believe there are different types of nutrition. Can you please tell us more about them and some of them, of their chemicals they are likely to contain?
Yes. So the main types of nutrients that plants need and crops need are the three main ones are nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium. And those, the short names for that is NPK. So if you are on a farm and you go to the co-op and you buy fertilizer, usually the most important one to buy is the NPK. And the N stands for nitrogen, the P stands for phosphorus, and the K stands for potassium. And those are important. Nitrogen is important for on a maize plant for good stalk growth. And the phosphorus is important for the root systems and for the seeds to grow properly and for protection against pests and diseases. And then the potassium is also important for the roots and the seed. And then furthermore, there's other micronutrients which are really important, such as calcium. You know, even humans, we need to have our calcium from milk. You know, we always are told that we need to have enough milk and calcium to have healthy bones. So plants also need some calcium to strengthen their tissues. And then magnesium is another chemical which is needed, and that helps the plant to give them their healthy green color because it helps with the photosynthesis. So those are the main types of nutrients, and there's quite a few more as well, but those are the main ones to know about.
Just a little bit, how does nutrition help in terms of enhancing crops?
So, no, that's really important. If you don't have the right nutrition, then the crops will not grow healthy. So, you know, many of your listeners might be coming from farms where maybe their parents or grandmother is growing maize. And often people have fertilizers, the NPK, that they put in the soil. But maybe on the edges of the field, they don't put enough nitrogen. And as you see the maize growing in about January, February, March, you'll see some of the maize plants are very yellow. And that is just because they do not have enough nitrogen. And maybe the fertilizer was not put on those, or they didn't get some manure or some kind of fertilizer. And Another important thing is that if we don't, you can enhance the growth of crops by doing crop rotation. So you can mix the maize plants and you can grow them together with after the bean plants, you know, the cowpea plants or the soybean plants in one season, and the next season you grow the maize plants. And the Agricultural Research Council just published a little report on July 2021 where they tested rotating maize with either cowpea or with soybean, and they found that the cowpea, because it can capture its own nitrogen from the soil using bacteria in its roots, as well as soybean does the same, but maize cannot. They got 25% more maize yield when they grow the maize after the cowpea. And then they got about a 5% increase after soybean. But if they grew maize in just 1 year after the other without anything in between, then it wasn't as good. The other thing that farmers do is they can plant some beans in between the maize, and those beans actually then will enhance the nitrogen levels in the soil and help the maize to grow. So those are some examples of how the nutrition can actually enhance and provide some benefits to the crops.
Interesting. Is there any harm or any immediate effect towards the environment and the habitat contained by the chemicals?
Yes, that's a good question. So, you know, the fertilizers, we call them inorganic fertilizers because they are made, they're extracted from rocks and from soil in factories. Mm-hmm. And that's where you get your NPK, your nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium. And so most farmers apply those to their fields, but usually the plants have to take up those nutrients from the soil, and they don't take it all up. And then sometimes it remains in the soil, and then it washes when it rains. Mm-hmm. Then that nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium will flow into the river and then into a dam. And there you get some environmental problems because the algae grow on those nitrogen, phosphorus. And so if they get lots of fertilizer in the water, then you get this algal bloom, which actually is very bad because the algae uses up all of the oxygen and kills the fish in the dam. So maybe your listeners know some dams or some still water where there's algae growing on the top, and it's all green, and the fish, there's not too many fish in there, and that is because the farmers are maybe using too much fertilizer and it's going into the water, and so that is one of the environmental challenges, and that is why many farmers are encouraged to use organic fertilizers, like collecting cow manure and mixing that in with the soil, or making some compost from, you know, leftover vegetables in their garden, to have a little compost heap in the corner of your garden, and then you can work that into your soil, and then you don't need to put in so much inorganic fertilizer to grow your maize or your beans or your squash or whatever you're growing in your farm.
You mentioned micronutrition and micronutrition. So can you please tell me what's the difference between micronutrition and macronutrition?
Okay, so essentially macro and micro, the difference is sort of just in scale. And so in terms of macronutrition, the main things is this nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium. But then there are many micronutrients which are required in small amounts. You know, plants, cells have many, many processes happening in them. And so for those processes to happen, they need very small amounts of calcium, magnesium, zinc, copper, iron, and those kind of micronutrients. And so plants also need to take up a small amount of those from the soil. And very often there are bacteria and microbes in the soil which help break down and make these available for the plants. And that's why you have the slogan healthy soils and healthy plants. Mm-hmm. And so you have to really look after your soils. And if you have a good healthy soil, then there's actually many, many microbes in there which are beneficial for your plants to grow. Mm-hmm.
So is there any important question or that I didn't ask you, or anything you would like to add?
Yes, no, there's the you know that if you go to different places in South Africa, if you go around Barberton or if you go to in the Cape, the soils are very different. And so different soils need different types of fertilizer. And one interesting concept is that, you know, there are some very sandy soils. You might actually have some places in Mpumalanga where the soil is very sandy. So that means that there's not a lot of nutrients in there. And then you get these carnivorous plants. I don't know whether you've heard about carnivorous plants. They're not many of them. They're small plants, but they can grow on very, very low nitrogen soil. Because what they do is they catch insects, so the insects get attracted into them, and then they close, and then they actually dissolve the insects and get the nitrogen, in other words, getting their protein from the insects, and so they don't need to have nitrogen fertilizer. And so that's an interesting little concept about plant nutrition. There are these the carnivorous plants. The Venus flytrap is one example. The other one is the sundew that we get in South Africa. It's a little small red plant with sticky pieces on it for the insects to stick onto. And the last point is that if any young people are interested to study about plant nutrition and to become an expert in plant production and plant nutrition, they can study at the University of Mpumalanga. They have a diploma in agriculture and plant production. They have a Bachelor of Science in agriculture. And of course, at the University of Pretoria, we also have BSc degrees and BSc Agric degrees in applied plant sciences, where you can also study in this field. So I hope that gave your listeners interesting ideas and concepts about plant nutrition, and maybe some young people are keen to do an experiment in their grandmother's garden if they can ask them to plant some maize, and they can plant some with no fertilizer, and then plant a couple of rows with some NPK and then a couple of rows with some manure, and then they can compare at the end of the season to see which one produces the most maize cobs.
Okay, Professor, thank you so much for your time. I hope the listeners at home got the message. Thank you.
Okay, it was a great pleasure, and have a lovely day further.
That was Nompendulo Mabaso with the crop nutrition and the professor that we had here today on the show. I always tell you guys that these programs or these shows, they help us learn a lot, because it happens here on Tuesday and Thursdays. Every time that she comes here, Nompendulo, she comes with new information. She comes with information that is very resourceful and useful, so you can actually use it and utilize it in a meaningful way. So yeah, I always say that these programs, they help us learn a lot, because we learn every day, don't we? And Nompendulo, when we will have you on the show again?
Next week, Tuesday, babes.
Next week, Tuesday. Do you know what topic you'll be having as yet?
No, not yet.
So, yeah, you do stay tuned. You tune into PCRFM every day. We'll let you know what topic she'll be having the following week, which is next week, Tuesday. For now, stay tuned, and here is what I'm giving you.
Can't get over, and I'm stronger than that.